Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalipse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo.
Cristo.
Es moreno.
Moreno.
Jesucristo.
Cristo.
No es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba.
La prueba.
Está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street. Ball out.
Ball out.
I buy all gear till I'm all out.
Yeah. All out.
Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out.
Call out.
Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move.
Till move.
Yeah. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes.
Yeah.
To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes.
Yeah.
It's a new moon and I'm feeling great.
Great.
Off on time and I'm never late.
Never late.
Got my brothers with me and they all straight.
Straight.
Good wine, good food on my dinner plate.
Yes.
Yeah, we just chillin' having fun.
Having fun.
Sayonara, old world, cause you done.
Yes.
God got me shining like the sun.
Like the sun.
I ain't know we shining with the sun.
With the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
boss. Jesus Christ,
Cristo.
Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king.
Yeah.
I like the suspense, leave them guessing.
Leave them guessing.
Pay them losing no mind. Why you stressing?
Why you stressing? Yeah.
Devil always trying, he be testing.
He be testing.
But Father steady raining down the blessings.
Yeah.
Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair.
Woolly hair.
Natural style, rock it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Fashion on lock, people gotta stare.
They gotta stare.
You ain't usual, now you something rare.
Yeah.
Hands in the air, look, I'm real high.
Real high.
You know you styling, and you know you fly.
You know you fly.
Yeah. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high.
Real high.
Praises to the Father. To the most high.
We now stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't suck. Party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo
Cristo
es moreno.
Moreno.
Jesucristo
Cristo
no es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba,
la prueba
está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo
Cristo
es moreno.
Moreno.
Jesucristo
Cristo
no es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba,
la prueba
está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Hopefully get your morning off bumping a little bit with the sounds of the Benjavites. That's Cristo el Negro. All right. New intro song. You can cop that album on originalloyalty.com. You can do digital download or CD. All right. Get some righteous music going. I am Captain Yahshua, and across from me I have
Captain Aparim. Shalom. Happy Sabbath.
Soldier El Kanan reading.
Soldier Shia, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Another blessed Sabbath and another episode of Native Latin and Black Lost History. I'm queuing up some stuff here, Captain Apariam. So if you want to go in, I know you like to give your opening scripture.
Yeah, let's open up with John 8:32. And like the captain said, I always like opening up with this scripture because, number one, not only was it Christ speaking, but everything in the Bible has meaning for the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, who the Bible is for, is our history book. And it's very profound, as I mention every Saturday, this scripture, which is why I like opening up with it. So can someone bring that out, please?
This is the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you read the Bible and you understand the Bible, you understand that the truth is obviously what the word truth means. Okay, our true nationality, our true heritage, our true culture, what our true nation title is, who we are, which is the Israelites, according to Deuteronomy 28. We are the 12 tribes of Israel. We are the true Jews, not the imposters, as the Bible calls them. Okay, actually, the Bible calls them bastards of Ashdod that are in our land right now.
That's right.
So it's very profound. But the other part of the truth is when you read Psalms, can you bring that out also, please? What else is the truth according to the scriptures? All right, so that sounds 119:142.
Sir.
All right, so here's the other second part of what the truth is when Christ was speaking.
It says the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
So it says the truth is thy law. And interesting, because kind of was a little theme this week that I had to deal with some other brothers and sisters. And it was a theme of marriage. And, you know, myself personally involved in that from time to time as well. But anyway, what's significant about that is that we're not taught how to love our wives. We're not taught how to love our husbands. We're not taught what marriage, true marriage, really is. However, interestingly enough, when we look at our forefathers, even not so much thousands of years ago, even as much as maybe our grandparents, depending on the generation that you are in, your great-grandparents, et cetera, they understood something very profound that the Bible brings out, and that's that the man is the head of the house, right? Always. It's not sometimes. It's always. And that doesn't mean that that diminishes the role of the woman or woman as a woman, but that the woman has her place as well, according to the scriptures. And interestingly enough, I'm going to speak personally. I remember growing up, just from my grandparents' perspective, you know, my grandfather, you know, he was what, like the song says, I don't want to say so much a rolling stone, because he was around, he supported his kids and et cetera, but, you know, he did his thing out there, you know, and, you know, not that it was right what he did according to the scriptures, now that we know, and that's kind of what I'm alluding to. But, you know, my grandmother stayed faithful and stayed firm and still made sure that the house was maintained. So according to the scriptures, the woman's supposed to be a good a helpmeet, which is a good help, and a pillar of rest for the man. And she's in charge of, you know, maintaining the house and maintaining that your children are following the law, statutes, and commandments, and are living their life righteously. So it's just a theme that came up this week. And you know, the Bible talks about marriage, and unfortunately, our parents didn't teach us how to deal with a marriage. Their parents didn't teach them. Their parents didn't teach them, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that was lost as a result of slavery and as a result of Christianity not even showing that. Okay, and the Bible clearly, in many, many, numerous verses on how to love your wife, how to love your husband, how to have a relationship, how to maintain your marriage, not boyfriend and girlfriend. No such thing of that in the Bible.
That's right.
Boyfriend and girlfriend is not in the Bible, but how to maintain a marriage and how to raise your children righteously. And what's important about that, us not knowing, is that as a result of not knowing that, that brings destruction in our home, and that brings divided homes. And a house divided cannot stand, is what the scripture says. And that's a tactic that is used even more so now to keep us divided, because the building of a nation, the building, no, there's a saying to know where you're going, you know where you're going, you got to know where you come from. That all starts in your home. And if you don't start that in your house, and if you don't have a foundation in your home, and you as the men, you Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, if you are not running your house according to the Bible, okay, you're not, you're gonna have confusion in your house.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say this one last point, is one of the great things, okay, about the Bible, and especially Israel United in Christ, which is the congregation that we represent, is that we encourage marriage. We don't break up marriages. We encourage marriages. And we show you if one is not following the way they're supposed to according to the scriptures, we'll go ahead and give, you know, appropriate biblical, not personal, not emotional, biblical counsel on how to maintain your marriage. So I just want to preface that. That's part of the truth that Christ was talking about, right. Who we are, and knowing that this Bible is our medicine. This Bible is our cure for all the problems that we have.
All praises to the Most High. You know, I was thinking, because you're right, marriage is like, and that's like a constant theme. I think I was talking about it with Bishop Nathaniel, and we were just kind of recapping the trip that he had here last week. And even, I want to say it was yesterday, the other day I was driving. And he made a point and he said, you know, marriage is something that our people always, it seems to be like we're always going to have to go over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like always. And when you look at it from like a cultural perspective, it's true. We've been taught marriage by what? By mainstream society, by the way the order of this world is and these things are. You know, we live in a bubble here in America, man.
Right.
And the stuff that's taught to us and showed to us is not the reality of really what's going on in the world. You know, that's why I say it's hard for people to realize and envision that we are yet this day in our captivity here, because they don't really see what's going on in the rest of the world. You know, when we do travel, we go to destinations that are touristy and there's money put into infrastructure and things like that. But if you venture out into any of these countries, like who says I'm going to go to, you know, the slums of Africa?
Right.
Nobody wants to take a vacation and go to that. And part of that is willful ignorance, right? Like I want to keep myself ignorant. Like I think the Matrix, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, right.
And by and large, man, we live in a place where ignorance is bliss. You know, the thing that cuts me the most is when I tell people that racism is alive and well today, and they're in denial about that. That one, like, really, what's the term that Esau uses? That really grinds my gears.
Right.
That really grinds my gears. But he was saying, you know, it just seems like no matter how much we're going to have to go through marriage. And I reflect on marriage a lot because, you know, when I'll use this as a wicked example. When Paul says that, you know, he learned from the chief scribes and Pharisees, right, and that he was like chief amongst them, I was one of the chief whoremongers in the world. So so I reflect on marriage a lot, why I was never able to really respect any sanctity of any relationship until I came into this truth. And I was never a faithful man until the Bible's true meaning came to me.
Right.
And I walked around religious, right? Mm-hmm. I walked around in different denominations and different things like that. But I was never a faithful man until I got married in this truth.
Right. You know what's interesting? I'm sorry, but something just came to my mind. Because, like, today is the Sabbath. It's Saturday, right? So what do typically people do? First of all, they don't know. Our people do not know that the Sabbath, for the most part, is Friday night to Saturday night, right? And not Sunday, like Catholicism and most Christian denominations teach us. But it's funny you say that because it's just popped in my mind. So you'll go out on Saturday night, right? You'll go clubbing, doing all the reveling and the wickedness, right?
Right.
And like Captain Joshua said, you know, I was one of the chief whoremongers as well. We were on that same team. Not that I'm proud of it at all. Okay, now that I know what I know, it's very disgusting, and
right.
it's not what we've led to believe. At some point, it will catch up with you, and you will find yourself like, hey, I got to get out of this. And that's one of the things that happened to me before my repentance. Anyway, the point I want to make is that you'll go out there, and you know what? You'll meet someone at the whatever location you're at, and y'all may go home together. And here's the funny thing, okay? The woman will say, you know what, I can't, I got to get up early, or I can't stay over because I got to go to church in the morning. And
after,
you know,
after the one night stand,
yeah,
though.
After the one night after stand, right? Stand. And because, like,
hey, where you going? I wanted to have breakfast.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
have,
gonna go. We're gonna go to IHOP, or I know this great place for brunch. Oh no, I gotta get
I gotta go to church. I gotta praise the Lord.
Right, right. And you know, it's funny. I mean, we laugh about it because, you know, if we laugh because we know it's true,
yep.
But we're not there. Laughing because or been there. We're not laughing because it's a good, the right thing to do. No, right. Actually, when you know what you know now, that the Bible talks contrary to all of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, and it's important that everybody, you know, listening understands that we were in the world too. What we termed the world, we were, you know, wicked and evil like that. But to us, like the captain said, you know, we live in a bubble. We don't believe that that's wicked or evil because society condones that. And now even exactly. More so, I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV, but even the young, slowly but surely, they even stick it in like Disney Channel shows, like for
right,
the kids,
right.
You know, the boys, they start real innocently with the kiss on the cheek or the boyfriend and girlfriend and stuff like that. And all of that eventually leads to that conversation of, okay, yeah, we could, and this, I'm going to keep it in a kind of street term. We could smash, but I got to make sure I get up early because I have to go to church
right.
And serve God. I don't know what God you're serving because the Bible's totally against that. That's called adultery, okay,
whoredom.
Regardless. Whoredom, okay, adultery.
And there's judgments for that.
And there's plenty of judgments for that. All right. In fact, Cap, can I just bring up one scripture? Can you give me Luke 12, please? Because you may have some people that may say, oh, well, you know what? I didn't know that, so I'm good. Okay. Well, let's see what the Bible said about it. Let's see what Christ said about not knowing. You know where I want, right?
Luke 12 and verse 48.
Go ahead.
But he that know not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes.
Okay. The, read the first word. He that knows.
But he that knew not.
No. He that, well, the one before that.
Verse 47. Mm-hmm. And the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself.
His will. It's as 48 and 8. Okay, let's talk about the law, statutes, and commandments. Go ahead.
Neither did it according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes.
Right, so if you know that it's wrong, okay, you're introduced to it, you read it in the scriptures, you're taught it, okay, from elder men, all right, that it's wrong, that it's adultery, okay, in this instance, okay, go ahead.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes.
So now it's flipping it, all right, the one that didn't know, okay, that it was adultery, all right, like a lot of us didn't know, go ahead.
Shall be beaten with few stripes.
So it's going to be few stripes, but you're still going to be beaten.
Right.
So you're not going to get away scot and free because, oh, well, I didn't know. Or like some people like to say, Captain, I don't want to know what's in our Bible because, I just rather not know them. But they're basically saying, if I don't know, okay, like the captain was saying, he quoted the movie The Matrix, ignorance is bliss.
Right.
Okay, so that's all I wanted.
Can I bring something out real quick just to go off of what you was talking about, Cap? When our people say that they know not and they think that's a valid reason of why they can sin. Give me Proverbs 24 and verse 12 real quick.
Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12.
Like what we've been learning in this captivity is always contrary to the Bible, even when it comes to the topic of marriage. We think it's okay to come with somebody for a night and go to church the next day and praise the Lord, and you say, okay, well, I didn't know it was adultery. But you're still going to get judged, just like the scripture in Luke says.
It's important that you said that because what you realize, you're going to realize life, okay, our life in general is all about good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's which side you're going to play. It's which team you're going to play right. For. That's really what it is, you know, and when you start realizing that, once you start getting indoctrinated mm-hmm. with the scriptures the proper way, and you start getting the proper understanding
the
of the scriptures, right, exactly.
With that mind frame of we know not, that's you trying to be neutral. You're trying to be in
there's
the
no
middle.
Neutral. There's right. No neutral because when
exactly.
You right, exactly, because Christ clearly said, because you're neither hot nor warm, I'm going to spew you out.
Right.
Okay, so there's no in between.
That's that I didn't know, brother. Right.
Right.
Go ahead and read.
Proverbs 24, verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not.
They say what?
We knew it not.
So our people say, we don't know this thing. We don't know it. Read.
Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?
The Most High considers and ponders your mind, the mm-hmm. way you think. Read on.
And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?
The Lord, the Most High is the Lord of hosts. He knows your soul. He knows your intentions mm-hmm. and what you ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, when you say, oh, I didn't know that was a law in the Bible, you still knew it was wrong to lay down with somebody and not marry that person. So the Most High, he knows it and considers your soul. Right?
Especially if they were married.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that adulterous spirit.
Mm-hmm. And shall not he render to every man according to his works?
You're going to be rendered according to your works. You're going to mm-hmm. get those stripes. Don't think you're going to escape mm-hmm. judgment.
It's a good precept. It's a good precept for Luke.
All praises to the Most High. You know, I'm going to have to start like editing these show topics after the fact because... It's like the spirit seems to always take us somewhere else. We'll see. We'll get to that. But I wanted to bring out a point. Part of the reason that, because like I say, I was reflecting on it. Like my mind's always, that's just the type of person I am. My mind's like always going on different stuff, right? And I was thinking about how, like, you know, damn, you know, it's true, man. Marriage is like, it's just something that I think we're always going to struggle with to Christ's return, mm-hmm. right? And I mean above the trouble in the flesh, because the trouble in the flesh is one thing, and being able to identify what's trouble in the flesh and what's more of a real issue. And even the best of us have issues with marriage as we continue on. And when you, I'm telling you, I don't think brothers and sisters really take heed when I say this. Ephesians 5 is the key to your marriage. Mm. And we read it and we go over it, but I don't think they really fully understand it. I'm not going to go there right this second. I don't know, man. I'm hesitant to turn this into a marriage show, but it might turn into a marriage show, and I'm going to have to change the whole editing and stuff like that.
Well, you know why it's important, Cap? I'm sorry. You know why it's interesting? Because the topic of the show is what?
It's the general topic of the show is our lost history, which it is our culture and everything like
right.
that. But no, I'm talking about my specific episode info was about we were going to continue on.
Okay.
Not the show in general. No. It's all appropriate.
Right.
I just when we go out there and we push the show with tags and stuff like that. It says what happened after the Lost Tribes arrived in Arsareth, aka America Part 2, and we're talking about. Marriage. I mean, technically, this is like you know thousands of years later. What happened after they arrived? But
yeah,
I'm probably it's all right. I might have to go in and fix that, bro. That's all I'm saying. I can edit the episode info. People gonna tune in thinking that we're talking about that, and it's like you know. So basically, no, we don't have to stay on just the history, you know.
Okay.
You know, the topic is anything in the Bible because the book pertains to us. So,
right.
you know, that's everything in relation to us. And by us, I mean so-called natives, like the title of the show, Latins and Blacks. All right. Mm-hmm. If your spirit bears witness with the spirit of our forefathers in the Bible, then you're an Israelite, mm-hmm. you know. So, and, you know, with our understanding now in this day and age, you know, gone are the days of, because you have people outside looking in who try to say that, you know, we say American blacks only or whatever. Listen, man, we're scattered all over the world. So does that mean some of our people might be in Australia? Yep.
Yeah.
Does that mm-hmm. mean some of our people are in different parts of Africa that's maybe other than the West Coast? Yep.
Yeah.
There's a remnant everywhere. Primarily, we're going to deal with the West Coast when we deal with that.
Even in China.
There's some of our people in China. You might have some in Russia, right?
Spain. That's going to be a
right?
big one.
Hey. You know, I don't like to say it because this other camp, I'm not going to name the camp. I'm not going to name camp. The camp that was very hard years ago talking about, like, you know, if you were from Ireland, I mean, and they're talking about you looking straight like, you know, Conor McGregor, that you could be Israel. But guess what? They could.
They could.
Yeah.
There is
that
a possibility. There is that possibility. Now, we're going to be very vigilant of people that come in like that.
Right.
You know, but I even know it from even so-called Hispanics, right? And Puerto Ricans, particularly, I say, because and a lot of them, they'll have, you know, maybe what sounds like a Jewish last name or an American black last name. And understanding the history and the captivities, chances are, you know, they're going to be there. Remember, at the end of the day, it's Christ that's going to sift the seed
right.
between the wheats and the tares.
Right.
All right. We strive to identify. And go with that based on what we know now. The scripture says we see through a glass darkly, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. But anyway, I want to get back to what I was going to bring out here. So part of the reason that I guess marriage is continually an issue is that people fully don't understand and embrace. I'm going to tell you, it's two parts. They don't fully understand and embrace Ephesians, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some stuff that, again, just, I don't know, maybe the Spirit's moving to discuss marriage again in the body. I was reading and watching some stuff, you know, sometimes like these videos and these memes that people post come up
And there was a Jake Christian pastor that was talking about marriage, and it sounded like maybe he watched our stuff. Some of the stuff he was talking about was on point. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I might use that as inspiration to touch on marriage again, because I was just, you know, just with, you know, with the proper context. And I was just like, damn. And he went into some deep stuff in Ephesians. I'm not gonna go there today. But I'm telling you, Ephesians, and what I mean by Ephesians is that Ephesians 5 is that you need to really study the relationship between Christ and Israel.
Mm.
Because when it says it's symbolic of that in the church, at that point, to really embrace it, you need to drop all the notions of you and your wife, you and your spouse, or you and your husband and your children, because that riles up feelings in us, right? Because we have issues with maybe things that they're not doing correct and vice versa or what have you. And when you think of it in those terms, you're not thinking of it spiritually. Right. It's almost impossible to do so. So when you drop all that and then really focus on understanding the relationship between Christ and the church, that bondage, because it's bondage, the scripture calls it bondage, we are bound to Christ. We are prisoners of Christ. Mm-hmm. When you really embrace and understand that, then it helps you deal with your marriage better, all right? I'm not saying you're going to have bliss, but it helps you deal with it better, and you're motivated to address it fully from a standpoint of the scriptures, no matter what comes at you. But the second piece, too, is why we have a problem with marriage. It's still related to Ephesians 5. Is that people don't do that, and they don't fully understand the relationship between Christ and the church.
That's right.
So if you can't understand that, and that, and marriage is symbolic of that, how can you understand the symbolism if you don't understand the source? So if you don't understand what the relationship between Christ and the church is, then you're not going to understand the symbolism and the similitudes, right? The things that are analogous between that relationship and the relationship you have with your spouse. But I wanted to read something, because I spoke about, you know, I can relate to that and why it's so heavy for us. Because guess Sirach 23 and 16, because I made a statement, and I said that it wasn't until the Bible that I became faithful. You know, and some people say, well, that should be common sense and that should be this. Well, Esau and their studies, they go out and they do a lot of surveys. And while you may live in your little bubble and you may have never been one who cheated, or you think that you've never been cheated on, all right, the world and statistics say differently. And it's a very common thing. It's been a common thing since the beginning of time. Why would even the Most High have to dedicate so much time to having men write those scriptures that deal with marriage eternally throughout the Bible? I'm talking about from the beginning, from the beginning of time, the first relationship after the one between God and Adam, all right? Because that was the first relationship, okay? God and Adam, all right? Was then Adam and Eve. So marriage is a foundational thing as old as the creation. It is part of the creation. And if anything, it is integral to the creation.
Yes.
You can't separate one from the other.
Yes.
And this is why I'm saying people don't listen. By no means do I ever profess that my marriage is perfect. All right. Because that would be a lie. The Bible tells you you will have trouble in the flesh. But I strive to deal with it spiritually as much as possible, because that's the only way to properly deal with it. Do I get carnal sometimes? And sometimes, you know, I get affected by it. Yes. But I fear the Lord so much, and I understand the integrity of the relationships from the foundation, that I've gotten better. I'll say that. I've gotten so much better that I have less of those slip-ups, and I deal with it from a perspective spiritually. That's our striving to get to that Godhead mentality, all right? And that's my earnest, sincere prayer and hope for every brother and sister, that they can apply and learn that thing. But I'm telling you, that marriage is not a game, and people look at it on the surface of my rod is hard, my box is wet, and, you know, I want this. That's the carnal part of it, all right? That falls into carnal. The spiritual thing in marriage is something, the relationship between a husband and wife, a man and wife that agree together, is one of the things that is most pleasing to the Lord. So it goes, again, there's just so much that we could go over that shows you that it's how integral it is. But I digress. I want to go back to this to show you the mindset that we had before coming into this truth. And, you know, for those who want to live on in ignorance is bliss and say you shouldn't need the Bible to understand the sanctity of relationships, well, guess what? We do. And guess where you got most of those ideas of morals and ethics from? The Bible.
That's
where do you
right.
think? Where do you think most of the laws and everything that are on the books and the Constitution and all these other places, they got the inspiration from the Bible?
That's
all
right.
Hey, it's called the judicial system.
Right.
Meaning came from Judah.
Right. Okay. Right. God was the author of the first laws. He gave the first constitution.
That's right.
Right. He the one that gave your inalienable rights. All right. And they all pertain to what he says.
That's right.
It starts with that first. Mm-hmm. Do what I say and you're free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So read Sirach 23 and 16.
The book of Sirach, chapter 23, verse 16. Two sort of men multiply sin, and the third will bring wrath. A hot mind is a burning fire.
A hot mind is as a burning fire. So but we're going to get to the part that I specifically want, which are going to whoremongers. But this is heavy stuff here, too, because it's telling you the type of men. All right. He says two sort will multiply sin and the third will bring wrath. There's two types of men that will struggle and they will multiply sin if they give into this mindset. He said a hot mind is as a burning fire. So he's talking about people with anger issues. Right. Go ahead.
It will never be quenched. Till it be consumed,
it will never be quenched till it be consumed, and then your mind gets consumed with that. But that the anger spirit, all right,
I can bring death to you.
That thing is, bro, that's the spirit of Cain,
right? Right,
and to be, well, it's an insult to us to be compared to Esau, no,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Most
it's an
definitely.
Insult to our people understanding that, mm-hmm. understanding without getting into it that Cain is the spirit of Esau,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That spirit originated with them. We're not supposed to be wrathful. That's not natural in us.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's what we have, that wrathful spirit.
That's
why God says he's going to be the one that's going to pour his fury upon the people, because it has to come from him. And he dedicated that spirit to Cain initially, but we picked up on that. All right.
Yep.
That's what the Bible compares you to, like Cain. And that's why they say that hating your brother is murder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because it progresses to that. But anyway, again, it says a hot mind is as a burning fire. It will never be quenched till it can be consumed. So someone like that is going to multiply sin. Go ahead.
A fornicator in the body of his flesh will never cease till he hath kindled a fire.
He says a fornicator in the body of his flesh will never cease till he hath kindled a fire. Meaning you're going to catch in the carnal
right
sense,
there.
You're going to catch the monster,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
going to
right. Something terrible is going to be happening. Yeah. Or in the spiritual sense, if you live your life like that, whatever, repenting, you're going to catch that hellfire, that
yeah.
nuclear flame.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
So those are the type of people that if you don't get a handle on those things, it says you're going to multiply sin. All right. So go ahead. Read the next verse.
Verse 17. All bread is sweet to a whoremonger.
All bread is sweet to a whoremonger. He will, all right, hold on a second because I forgot. I wanted to give the guest call-in number, 516-531-9797. Call in with questions or comments, 516-531-9797. Read verse 17 again.
Verse 17. All bread is sweet to a whoremonger.
This is what I mean, that I was one of the chiefest ones, although I had a little standards, but,
well,
you know,
all sweet
to there's some brothers that, you know, they don't care, you know,
yeah.
Like it don't matter what it looked like as long as they get in some. So it says all bread is sweet to a whoremonger. Go ahead.
He will not leave off till he dies.
And that's what we were just talking about. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the HIV, right? The
right.
waffle, all of that. Mm-hmm. Or until Christ return. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until Christ return and you wind up dead, destruction. All right.
Yep.
Go ahead. Read
verse 18. A man that breaketh wedlock, saying thus in his heart, who seeth me?
He says, a man that breaketh wedlock, saying thus in his heart, who seeth me?
Mm.
So this is the brother that is married, right? And he's like, damn, you know what? I got away with this. The congregation don't know.
Mm.
The wife don't know.
Mm.
The kids don't know. Go ahead.
I am compassed about with darkness.
Because why? You do those things on the sneak tip,
yep.
all right?
Late
maybe
creep.
Late at night,
yep.
late night creeping, right?
Yep.
Go ahead.
The walls cover me.
In the hotel or,
mm-hmm.
or the other person. And this applies to a woman too, all right? It's written in a masculine sense, but maybe you're at the man's house that you cheat, the adulterer or the adulteress's house.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the walls cover me. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
me and Mrs. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody seeth me.
And nobody seeth me. Go ahead.
What need I to fear?
It says, what need I to fear? Nobody's going to catch me. Go ahead.
The Most High will not remember my sins.
The Most High will not remember my sins.
That's
that Christianity teaches that.
Man.
That's what you were just talking about. This is why I wanted to go here when you said they do the one night stand and then they run to church.
Yep.
And not realizing, like, yo, you don't, do you really fear the power? a lot of us don't really feel the power. I was meditating on a scripture on the way over here last night, and you know, in 2 Timothy, where it talks about having a form of godliness, and I actually may go over this today for the pre-class before the main class, just that chapter. But having that form of godliness, there's a lot of brothers and sisters amongst us, all right, that are like that too. So you know, we don't run around professing to be perfect, okay?
Right.
We have all the issues that a regular congregation in any denomination would have, except we address them. We don't throw them under the rug. We address them head on, face to face with the individuals, right? Or there's a process and there's steps to dealing with it. And we deal with it that way. So it's not something that's just ignored and allowed to continue on and fester. So you can't come in here, right? In Colossians, I believe, it tells you that the law is not made for a righteous man before a sinner.
Right.
And it tells you all the different sins. that's what we're here for. We're here for the law. We're here to get right. If we were all perfect, then Christ would have already returned.
Right.
So you walk into an Israelite congregation, and every now and then you hear something about someone who professes to be an Israelite. That's not indicative of all the people. Okay.
Right. You bring this out often, Kat. We're not repented. We are repenting.
It's a continual thing.
It's a process. Yes, and like the captain brought out, if we were at that point already, you know, Christ would have returned already. It's a process. That's why the scripture says a just man will fall 7 times. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, a dispensation number. Okay. But it says a just man. It doesn't say any man, a just man. And to be just as what? A man that or woman that's following the Lord's statutes and commandments.
Right. Correct. All right. So go ahead. Continue on. Verse 19.
Such a man only eyes of men.
And a lot of our brothers and sisters are like that. They're more concerned with what their reputation is in the congregation. They're more concerned with what people say. They try to really push things under the bed. They try to hide the wind, mm-hmm. right? They try to cover that thing. You know, and it's like having a sheet, right, or a tablecloth. Let's say I got a tablecloth on this table, and it doesn't fit, like it's for a kid's table. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to cover all your sin with that, all right? And you can only cover part of it here or part of it there.
But you keep moving it.
But you keep moving it because people are only concerned with what men think.
That's that form of godliness.
That's that form of godliness. Yeah. When the scripture says that you should fear God rather than men.
Exactly.
All right? Go ahead.
Such a man only feareth the eyes of men, and knoweth not that the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun.
So those of us who live here in the valley of the sun, all right, in Phoenix, you know that sun be feeling like it's 10,000 times hotter than, like, right? We know it's not, the sun's not warmer here than anywhere else, right? The sun is the sun. But it sure damn feel like right, it when you're in that sun sometimes, right? That thing is just like, oh, go away.
It
feels like it's closer and everything. Bro, for real, you can't escape it or nothing.
Where's the shade?
Hey, for real, bro, the shade feels so much
right.
better.
Right.
But, you know, that's the Lord's eyes. Mm. Like you said, you can't escape it. So that's just like right. you can't escape the sun out here, all right, you're not going to – it's hardly ever cloudy out here.
Right.
And even if it is, if it rain out here, that sun peeking through regardless, mm-hmm. man. Like, it'd be dark, mm-hmm. and you still see the glow. That's just the regular sun. It's telling you the Lord's eyes are 10,000 times bigger than that.
10,000.
All right? So there ain't nothing that he ain't seeing and recording. Like, right. are you kidding me? People think that they're doing that tablecloth game, mm-hmm. all right, hiding the freaking sin with a small tablecloth, and you're not. For a time, you may be able to conceal it, but the Lord's going to reveal it. Go ahead. Right.
Beholding all the ways of men, mm-hmm. and considering the most secret parts.
So those most secret parts. So even above and beyond adultery, I know that's the topic, but anything that you think that you're going to get away with, you're fooling yourself.
That's right.
People like to say, Mosai knows my heart. Mosai, he sure does.
You ain't lying about that.
You're going to get judged for your ways. Too.
Because guess what? It tells you, give me Jeremiah 17 about the heart. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something about the heart. For those of us who run around and say, the Lord knows my heart, you're damn straight he does. I believe it's verse 14.
I got it.
14,
the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse
9.
The heart is deceitful above all things.
So you like to talk, but brothers and sisters like to talk about, right, oh, the Lord know my heart. All right. You hear this a lot of Christianity, but I hear it in Israel. Go ahead.
And desperately wicked.
The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. All right. But to whom is the heart deceitful and desperately wicked? Go ahead.
Who can know it?
Who can know it? An individual can't. Go ahead.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
So when we make the erroneous comment to say the Lord knows my heart, usually a brother or sister says that to defend what they think their intentions are. Mm. But the one who knows the heart is only the Lord.
That's right.
You don't know your own damn heart. Mm. So we're going to run around and you say, no, trust me, the Lord knows my heart. That's not my intent. That's not this and that. You're damn right the Lord knows your heart. Mm. I may not know it. You damn sure don't know it, right? Because it's deceitful above all except to the Lord. Because
right.
He the one that formed you. He pre-knew you, that you were predestinated. So you're damn right. You spoke true. See, that's a Christ moment. Where you say, verily, verily.
Verily, truly, I say unto you. Right.
Verily, I say unto you, you have spoken truly. You know what I mean?
Right. The Lord knows your heart, right? You're damn right, because he knows that you're hating the brother that's telling you what you shouldn't be doing.
Hey, and that's what happens a lot of time. That's
the
why
irony.
Listen, that's the defensive posture a lot of us take when we hear something at first. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say you always got to consider what's being said to you, because and I've used the example with me. I won't go into the story sometimes, but I've gotten that spirit on me, and you wouldn't think so, because we walk around thinking we're okay, man. But I'm telling you, only God knows your heart. So you speak true when brothers say that. Brothers and sisters, oh, the Lord knows my heart. You're damn right, because you don't. What you really meant was, no, I know that's not what I meant, and that's not, you know what,
right.
But the Lord knows otherwise, mm-hmm. All right? So
that's
go back.
That's why we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding,
right,
but trust into the
right,
Lord.
Right, right. Yeah. Go back.
Verse 19.
Yep.
Sirach, chapter 23, verse 19. Such a man only feareth the eyes of men, and knoweth not that the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun, beholding all the ways of men and considering the most secret parts.
Meaning deep down inside, he knows the things that you've yet to struggle with. He knows the things that have yet manifested in you that you're going to have issues with. Go ahead, continue.
Verse 20, he know all things ever they were created.
That's what we were saying with the heart. He knew your heart, right? Because everything that was created during the creation.
Right.
And it's just been recycled, right? So he says, he knew all things ever they were created. Go ahead.
So also, after they were perfected, he looked upon them all.
So he went ahead and he perfected them. All right. That's this
right.
is why you know that homosexuality thing is against the Bible.
It's a farce.
Because it was not so from the beginning.
Right.
Marriage was between a husband and wife. So it's telling you he perfected things in the creation.
So nobody can be born gay?
No.
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 Okay.
No.
Right. Because
there's none of that.
Right. It's just you
say
that.
People say that.
Right.
I was born like this.
Right. Because the book of Genesis means the beginning, right? Noah and everything that's on the earth today was you find in Genesis, but you're never going to find homosexuality.
Right. He made Adam and Eve, not
right.
Adam and Steve.
Right. Right.
That's right. All right. So after also they were perfected, he looked upon them all. So it's telling you he knew everything from the beginning. It was never for his intention. All right. For as far as perfection, for that homosexuality thing to come up, that's a carnal spirit. That's
right.
Why the Bible speaks. There's no way you could justify it in the Bible. So because it can't be justified in the Bible, what people do is they either omit those scriptures if they still feel like they have an affinity for God to continue on. And that's where you have those churches where you have the first gentleman. You have the pastor and the first gentleman.
Damn.
What?
I've seen stuff like that, bro.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
they
Judah.
Got that now.
Yeah, Judah, brother.
Oh.
it's two Judah brothers.
Right? Oh, that's
damn.
Funny.
So he the head pastor, and he got the first gentleman instead of the first lady of the church, right?
Damn.
Captain.
Yeah.
Damn. What happened at the Vatican not too long ago?
Oh, yeah, the whole old gay orgy,
bro.
Thing. Yeah, but you see, that's because they trying to go against the scriptures and forbid marriage. And there's nothing that says marriage is forbidden in the scripture. That's
right.
Like a separate thing that they're doing. That's not the nature of us to be that way. It's not good that man should be alone, is what God said during the creation. Listen, it's not a sin if you don't get married. But not everybody can maintain that way. That's why Paul says, you know, to avoid fornication, just go ahead and get married.
But a man
right.
and man cannot marry. That's,
no, a man and man,
man
cannot
man
marry,
cannot marry.
Because he told us be fruitful and multiply,
right.
and nothing comes from that.
Exactly.
All right? He, again, it goes into the perfection, but I don't want to make this the homosexual show either. Although I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I went to Target, man, yesterday, and I was buying some stuff. And they had a section in the front, and it said Pride, and it had all the rainbow apparel and love.
Damn.
Yo, they took our rainbow, man, and made it a symbol for that. And I was like, yo, somebody who don't know, let's say they're ignorant, like maybe like an older person, they'll be like, oh, this is such a nice shirt. It has a heart with the rainbow, and it says love and pride. And I'm like, damn. I was like, yo, it's like, in the front, I'm talking about, it was the feature thing in the front of the store. I was like, wow, this world is really turned upside down.
They're making mockery of our Bible.
Yep. But go ahead. Continue on.
Verse 21. This man shall be punished in the streets of the city, and where he suspected it not, he shall be taken.
So it's telling you, man, somebody like that, like the whoremonger, or somebody who has that spirit, like, the, you know, who seeth me, he says, the Most High has a reward for you. Like, don't worry about it. This man is going to be punished in the streets of the city, and where he suspected it not, he shall be taken.
That means death.
That means death. When you least suspect that, you're going to get death. He's going to take you. All right. Go ahead. Continue.
Verse 22. Thus shall it go also with the wife that leaveth her husband and bringeth in an heir to by another.
So it's telling you the same thing goes for the woman, like we said, even more so if she bringeth in an heir by another. Go ahead.
Verse 23. For first, she has disobeyed the law of the Most High. And secondly, she has trespassed against her own husband.
So that's also indicating the order of things again. It's not just 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. It's telling you there, the Most High first, and then the order of your husband. All right. And what I mean by that is the woman don't have a direct relationship with the Lord. We under Corinthians expounds upon that. But what it's saying, because you have some brothers who try to get their wife to, well, you're my possession. So, you know, I had one brother I had to talk to him and be like, bro, you can't make your wife work on the Sabbath in your business. Like, that's, she has the right to tell you no for that. Like, yeah. Her belief has to be to that first.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she's your possession don't mean you can compel her to break the law.
Yeah, that has first.
That comes first. Right. So that's the order that it's telling you here. First, right. You got to keep the laws of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, then you have the rule of your husband as your head. Go ahead.
And thirdly, she has played and the whore in adultery and brought the children by another man.
And she has a judgment too. Read verse 24. Come on.
Verse 24. She shall bring brought out into the congregation, and inquisition shall be made of her children.
And so it's telling you again, like basically different judgments and stuff like that. So, you know, while it says, I'm going to jump to verse 27. So while it says with the adulterous spirit that all bread is sweet, read verse 27 because there's something sweeter.
Verse 27, and they that remain shall know that there is nothing better than the fear of the Lord.
There's nothing better than that. That's what I'm telling you. That's Psalms 111 and 10.
Right.
I tell brothers all the time, give me 5 precepts for that. Brothers can't give me 5 precepts for that. But there's another one that you can use for that. Yo, it's deep. That's a deep scripture. So it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right. Go ahead.
And that there's nothing sweeter than take heed unto the commandments of the Lord.
So there's nothing sweeter than to take heed unto the commandments of the Lord. So while all bread might be sweet, this is why I was unfaithful until I came into the scriptures.
That's right.
Because to me, that was the sweetest thing. That was my purpose every night, every day. Who, what new? Because it wasn't the same Vijay. It was what new Vijay can
many,
I smash?
Yeah, how many you can put on the list?
How many can that's I a, put on the list?
That's a stigma we grew up with.
Right.
As men.
Right. That's exactly. That's that wickedness that we grew up with.
Right.
And we justify that. Because look, even now, we spoke about our grandfather. And we were like, yeah, you know, he did his thing, you know, but you know, he was still around with the family, whatever. That's trying to rationalize it. Right. Understanding in the scriptures, hey, it was off what he did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't correct on any measure. And when you understand, because what that means is then you validate what Christianity as a religion by and large teaches and what their main tenets are. When you're a man in this truth and you cheat, what you're saying is that God can be for everybody other than the Israelites. Because if Christ is only for Israel and it's symbolic, marriage is symbolic of the relationship between Christ and the church, what you're saying is that by going off and being with somebody else, Christ can do the same thing too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there is no divorce except to be for fornication. Because fornication and it's talking about physical fornication, but when you look at the spiritual understanding of the relationship between Christ and the church, it's going into, it's relative to what? that's the only blasphemy that can't be forgiven.
Blasphemy
against the Holy Ghost, meaning you say to hell with this. Christ is for everybody, whatever, whatever. Even if you try to take measures of this and say, Christ is black. I do believe we got to keep the commandments, but I believe Christ is for everybody. That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
You can say those things, and that's still blasphemy because that's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
That's not the Christ. That's not the Savior of the Bible. So that's how severe it is to commit adultery, because what if you being Christ symbolically in that relationship is saying you could go dip out. That's what
Damn,
it's saying.
That's heavy right there.
Yeah, man. That's heavy. That's basically you're making the truth of God to none effect.
It's a liar.
You're making heavy. God a liar
right.
when you do that. Mm. So that's the severity. And it don't matter if the woman got a big mouth and she got this and she got that going on, because didn't we do that and more? Do we not continually do that and more to Christ?
When you read the book of Judges, frustrating.
Right. But he's still
Every chapter and the children of Israel sin
right.
against God.
He is still for us. He is still there. We have to be willing to the point of having that spirit, like Christ died for us. That's the mentality we need to have as men in our family. That's where the nation building comes forth to and from. And many of us don't walk around like that. So as I say, it's real heavy, man. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And you wanted to bring something out, because I want to take a quick break. And then maybe, I know usually after we take a break, we kind of lose the flame of the moment. So did you want to bring something out before I break?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I was just looking.
All right, we're going to take a quick break now. Leave you to some music here as we go. And don't forget, when you come back, you can call in 516-531-9797. Again, 516-531-9797. We're going to leave you to some more sounds of the Benjavites, all right, as we take a quick break here.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba. Está en
la Biblia.
Yo te tribo. Baila
mi hermano.
Jesucristo es
moreno.
Jesucristo no es
blanco.
La prueba está en
la Biblia.
Yo te tribo. Baila
mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. Get till I'm all out.
Yeah.
Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out.
Yeah.
Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move.
Yeah.
Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes.
Yeah.
To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes.
Yeah.
It's a new moon and I'm feeling great.
Great.
Off on time and I'm never late.
Yeah.
Got my brothers with me and they all straight.
Straight.
Good wine, good food on my dinner plate.
Yeah,
we just chillin', having fun.
Sayonara,
old world, cause you done.
Yeah.
God got me shining like the sun.
Like the sun.
I ain't always shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscle them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesucristo is moreno.
Got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king.
Yeah.
I like the suspense, leave them guessing.
Pay
them losing, no mind. Why you stressing?
Yeah.
trying, he be testing.
He be testing.
But Father steady raining down the blessings.
Yeah.
Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair.
Woolly hair.
Natural style, rock it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Fashion on lock, people gotta stare.
They gotta stare.
You ain't usual, now you something rare.
Yeah.
Hands in the air, look, I'm real high.
Real high.
You know you styling, and you know you fly.
You know you fly.
Yeah. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high.
Real high.
Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
Like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila? I sip margarita. Don't stay behind. Get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop. Dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't talk. Party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop. Dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesus Christ is Moreno. Jesus
Christ.
No es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo.
Cristo.
Es moreno.
Moreno.
Jesucristo.
Cristo.
No es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba.
La prueba.
Está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Hey, Sabbath music, we about to get into it. Israel is doing it. Come on, y'all, time to get started. This is an Israelite party. All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. So rest before us departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party. Come on, y'all, time to get started. This is an Israelite party. All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. So rest before us departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party.
This one goes out to the scattered. That knows that his skin color matter. Put in the work in these streets. All of the doctors, they shatter.
Hey,
two of my brothers from Reuben, who don't use words that are soothing. Harkin, to just keep it moving. Who only delivers the truth. Issachar likes to see yes out. Asher, Natalie, Manessa. I know you're working all day. Don't let these other nations stress you. Messiah will relieve your pressure. Because he's from the tribe of Judah. And you know he is the ruler. And he will put love back in your medulla. Can't forget my brother Simeon. The Most High ain't looking for many men, only 144K. 12K from my brother Benjamin, another 12 from brother Zebulun, another 12 from brother Ephraim. Let's not forget brother Gad and brother Levi, we need them. Israel like this, you're so seasoned. And I know you know the reason. All of these laws that we're keeping, that is the way we defeat them. Israel like life is the baddest,
yeah.
The best life we've ever had,
yeah.
It makes me feel really good,
yeah.
Kicking it with my fam on the Sabbath.
Come on, y'all, time to get started. This is an Israelite party. All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. So rest before us departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party. Come on, y'all, time to get started. This is an Israelite party. All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. So rest before us departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party.
Feast of Tabernacles, we releasing shackles when we rehearse righteous acts.
Hey,
feast of dedication, a holy vacation. What your crews know about that? 2017, I'm keeping clean mind as I get ready for Passover. In the meantime, I'ma make my election show so I don't get passed over. Standing on corners with all my soul.
Turn it.
The word is my rock and it's like a boat.
Turn it.
When I need help, tap my brother's shoulder.
Turn it.
I'm young in age, when scripts made me old.
Hey.
Then I can't wait, cause every Saturday I get to kick it with fam. When bishops and deacons be teaching on speeches, these precepts, they got me like, damn. When the class is through, you know what to do. All day it is Psalms 133. Break up the bruise, the domino too. And you better not forget the strong drink. Negroes, Latino, they call Taino. Native Americans everywhere we go. We're an astonishment to all the people. They look and they stare and they pointing like people. But we do not care.
We do not care.
Cause we're rolling with Christ and we are there. We're waiting for chair.
We're waiting for chair.
We're yes to come take us up, up out of here.
Psalms
55, go gather the
saints.
Keep the commandments. Don't say that you can't.
That you can't.
I cannot wait. It's gonna be great. Kicking it with Christ for heart of the pain.
Come on, y'all, time to get started. This is an Israelite party.
All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. The Red Sea falls departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party. Come on, y'all, kind of get started. This is an Israelite party. All of my sisters are modest. Our Messiah's the hardest. He brought us out of the darkness. The Red Sea falls departed. This is an Israelite party. This is an Israelite party.
We had anybody online?
All right, we're back. We're back. Left you to the sounds of the Benjivites again and Rue the Brew.
Oh, praise.
Israel Party. I like that, Jim. Good song.
Yes, sir.
So I went ahead and changed up the title and episode info so people aren't like,
all praises.
You know, it wasn't as long. Because the other thing, too, is like the way the platform works is you'll get more exposure if like you type a more detailed explanation. But it's like sometimes we go so all over the place, we can't even like deal. So we have a little bit of a shorter show today because we started a little later than normal. You know, we're still working through some of the kinks in our process here. But I'm going to put myself out there. I just realized, like, for the past few episodes, like, I wasn't feeding the sound from these wonderful mics that we have here.
Very nice.
It was picking up from my laptop mic.
Wow.
Well, little by little, I've been realizing, like, you know... I'm like, hey, like I was telling the soldier before we started, I'm not a sound guy, man. I felt the sense of urgency and the need for us to put a show out, and I just, you know, the spirit was on me to take initiative and try to make this happen. So, Lord's will to come together, man. We got Soldier Ruvane who's gonna start really pushing the show for us, and you know, anybody who's listening. Even if you are repentant already, remember, man, don't just sit there and do this for yourself, man. You didn't labor for yourself only, but for others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spread this. Afterwards, the show goes into a podcast format. So right now it's live. So if people wanted to call in, it's 516-531-9797. Again, 516-531-9797. And then what happens is it goes into a podcast after that, and it gets uploaded and it stays on the website. And then you can share that link. You know, through your social media, you can send it to friends and family. Last week's episode was especially good. And of course, considering our special guest, it was the highest played and downloaded episode when we had the Bishop Nathaniel, Deacon Yael, and Deacon Nathan in the studio. So naturally, it did well.
All praises.
So all praises for that. But, you know, help us get the word out, because really the intent is for this to be a platform. Which is why we kind of do this conversational format and have the option to call in. This should be a platform for the unrepentant of our people to come and listen and learn, you know. And if you got questions, you know, we'll deal with the questions so long as they're relevant to the subject matter and whatnot. So, you know, call in 516-531-9797 and share the links and move on with that. So, you know, we left off talking about the marriage. I titled the show Marriage and History. So that way we could go anywhere we want. Like I said, a little bit of a shorter broadcast today. We got about 26 minutes left on the air. So I'm going to open it up to any of y'all. If you want to continue on with the marriage theme, if you had anything that you wanted to bring out, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I do, because, again, as I briefly mentioned at the beginning, when in 1492, when the Edomite Christopher Columbus came with his conquistadors, which means to conquer in Spanish, to this part of the hemisphere, North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean islands, we were living, okay, you know, we understood marriage, okay, and we were living our lives. Not so much fully by the commandments, because that's why the Most High sent Christopher Columbus over here, because when you read the scriptures, the curses are that people from a nation from far away, and you know, we to the hemisphere, as we the first show that we had, when you read in the Apocrypha, chapter 13, came over here with good intentions, and the intentions were to follow the law, statutes, and commandments, because we weren't able to do it in our captivity in Assyria. So when the Persian King Cyrus gave us our liberty, we decided to move to the part where we can keep our land, which was all prophecy anyway, called Arzareth. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that These marriage and these laws were established like the captain brought out in Genesis from the beginning. Okay, and marriage was also always supposed to be sanctified. But just touch on what he brought up earlier. Even Adam and Eve didn't have a perfect marriage because she forgot her place. And her place was that her head was Adam. And she went ahead and against the Most High first and foremost and against her husband, she went ahead and brought other doctrines, which is when the Genesis mentions, first of all, it never mentions that she ate an apple. So I don't know why, even growing up as a kid or the Bible dictionaries that, you know, the children's Bibles that I had, they showed a picture of an Edomite woman and an Edomite man, and she's holding an apple, giving it to Adam. It never says an apple in Genesis. So let's get that cleared up.
Right. Yeah, you know, there's some nonsense going around. I'm not even going to spend too much time on it, but they call it the quantum effect or the Mandela effect. And it's where
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, so supposedly, right. So supposedly they try to justify and they say, no, it did say Apple at one time, but because of quantum computers and physics, all the Bibles across the world changed and now it's different wording. And
oh my God.
Oh, it's some madness, bro. But it's almost like, You can't gainsay the Bible, so you create something to try to, you know, justify or stay in the paradigm that you have instead of just realizing that it says something different. But anyway, I don't want to take your thought from you. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so basically that just shows just theory, a theory that they created. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, it was mentions that because what you have to understand is that Genesis and the book of Revelation, they're one big parable. And when you read Hosea, what is it, 12 and 10? It's a 12 and 10.
I believe so, yeah.
Give me Hosea 12 and 10. It clearly says how the Most High
talks to us
in both, you know, in both the Bible.
Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets.
All right, similitude, just another word for metaphor, anecdote. Okay, it's illustrative story. All right, and just mentioning, you know, just to go in and not to, you know, it's not really deep, but I don't want to spend time on that. It's just that, you know, let's just get that real quick in Genesis.
Yeah, go ahead. We got time.
You know why this is all relative? I mean, you know, I know we digress a little bit, but it's all relative because at the end of the day, these are all lies that we were taught. These are all things as a result of not knowing the truth, as we always open up with, the truth shall make you free,
yes,
why we're destroyed as a people, all right? And we have no understanding, no true understanding of who we are. You know, again, I'll say it again, to know where you're going, you must know where you're coming from.
That's right.
Okay, so let's go ahead and... you know what? Let's start at one. Let's start at one since we have some time. I'll just go ahead.
3:1.
Yeah, Genesis chapter 3:1.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field.
So let's start right there. First of all, okay, what is this? Animal was the name of the movie? Animal spoke?
Babe.
Again, remember, the Bible is written in similitudes, especially Genesis. Okay, it's talking about the character of a serpent. Okay, this person came real slick, smooth, and like a snake that you don't know they're there until they bite you. Okay, that's how this dude came. This dude was, okay, Satan. All right, and he did not look like with red horn, you know, with horns. No, he was. East. I don't want to get in that deep.
We don't just try to get the false image of Christ out your head. We deal with getting the false image of the devil
that's a good
out
point.
Your head too.
That's a good point. You see, and you know, it's funny you say that because subconsciously we overlook that fact. Okay, but yeah, what are they inbred? What are they inbred in us? I mean, what's the word I'm looking for?
Brain in us.
Brain. Watch this now. Here you are thinking that somebody red with horns and a pitchfork
yeah.
is going to come to deceive you. Meanwhile, it's the Caucasian man or it's your own brother and sister that has the devil on them. And it's deceiving because you're not expecting him. You see the craftiness behind that? The same way that they gave us the fake image of Christ, okay, with blonde hair and blue eyes, which is nowhere in the Bible. Get me a scripture. Somebody call in with a scripture that says he looked with blonde hair and blue
Prove
eyes.
It.
Please
I challenge you.
Please do that. Okay, and get me a scripture. Okay. And
I challenge you.
I challenge you, but they'll go ahead and they also depicted evil, okay, as something that looks really, really bad. Okay, but in this right here, okay, you think Eve will not have ran away from anybody in their right mind would run away from something looking crazy like that? Yeah. That's a beast, right? Okay, but they did get one thing right. They do say he's red.
Exactly. Okay. They right about that.
You know, according to Genesis 25:25, Esau came out red and hairy like a hairy garment.
All
okay,
over.
And that's where the term redneck comes from because, you know, you can see their blood. They have no melanin, and their skin, their blood, you can see through their
skin.
We
see a lot of them out here because of that hot Arizona sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of them begging on the corners of the exits of the
bringing
highways.
Bringing that fire to them.
Right, two-time losers, man, because if you Caucasian and you ain't getting it right in this lifetime, if you ain't wealthy or good in this lifetime,
it's your kingdom.
It ain't going to happen. This is your kingdom right now. Anyway, so go ahead, read it again.
Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord had made.
Go ahead.
And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
So does it say an apple there in that verse?
Mm.
Okay, it says any tree, right? Any tree, but let's see. We'll see. Go ahead.
Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Okay, it says fruit, right? Right. Does it say an apple?
No.
Okay, but again, I'm going to show you that it's not an actual fruit. Go ahead.
Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, yea, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Okay, so what that's talking about is the trees talking about the other nations. Okay, mm-hmm. It's similar to it. It's talking about the other nations. Now, that what she brought, okay, and what the serpent was bringing to her, which was actually, okay, the spirit of Esau, which was Satan, was actually astrology and idolatry. Let's prove that. Let's get Wisdom of Solomon 14, 11, and 12 in the Apocrypha. Okay, you see, they're making out the Protestants because it leaves out so many important things. Okay, that tobacco Bible really means. Go ahead.
Book of Wisdom of Solomon, 14. Therefore, even upon of the Gentiles, just the invitation in the creature of the nation and come to the beginning.
Was